Our topic is on the spiritual battles or spiritual warfare. And we're going to look at some scriptures. And I hope everybody's doing well today. In these days, we have really encountered many, many trials and tribulations and so forth. But the Lord is good, and He's watching over us, and He'll make us overcome every battle that comes against us. So we want to go to our scripture this morning. And let's go to, let's see what we got here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we want to read verse 10 and 11. And then we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2. No, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4. Thank God. Amen. So let's go to the scripture here. It says, a final word. I'm reading the New Living Translation for us this morning. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power and in His mighty power. You know, God tells us to stand firm, stand strong. And He says, in his mighty power, he's going to supply us the power. Praise God, to stand strong. He's going to give you the power. When He says to stand, He's not telling you to stand on your own power, your own human strength, your own human ability, because He knows that you have an evil force arrayed against you, and He has certain powers that are no match for us humans. And He says, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. You have to make that confession. You have to say, I'm strong in the Lord. And I'm standing, and so thank God. So it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God, or put on all of God's armor. So it's something you got to do. You have to put on the armor of God. Why? So that you may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the enemy. Now let's look at that a little bit more in our text. The apostle Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. He says, be strong. You know, he didn't say to try to be strong. He didn't say to pray to be strong. He says, be strong. If God told you to be strong, you can be strong. God would not tell you to do something that you couldn't do. You have to understand this and believe this, because it took me many years to believe this, to actually understand this. I didn't have a teacher. I didn't have a pastor to tell me this, but I'm telling you now, as your pastor, that you can do this, and you can go for another 40 years, 20 years, and not do this and lose battles. But I'm going to tell you right now, right from the get-go, to be strong in the Lord and in His power, so you stand in His power, not in your own ability. He says in here, so you're standing in the power of God. This scripture is saying that you're standing strong in the strong power of God. You're standing strong in His might. You're not doing this on your own. You have to make a commitment to stand strong in the power of God. Notice that it says there, in His mighty power, in His mighty power, not your power, not your human strength, but in His mighty power, which He supplies. He doesn't tell you to try to pray about it. He doesn't tell you to fast about it, but He's already done it. He's given you His mighty power. Now, He says, put on. So you have to put on something. I remember in the 80s, you know, we had church. You know, we didn't know very much about the different things. And, you know, anything comes on television, the Christian program, you know, you get into some tangent. You start to, every morning, you put on your armor. We used to practice that, put on your armor. You put on the helmet of salvation, you know, the breastplate of truth and of righteousness and the belt of truth. And, you know, shoes of the gospel, and then you take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And we used to go through that little routine, you know. But here's something you need to do. You need to keep that armor on. You sleep with it. You eat with it. You pray with it. You swim with it. You run with it. So you keep that armor on. Don't take it off. And so thank God. So anyway, he says put on God's armor. We're going to talk about how to put it on. So that you may be able to stand. So you're going to be strong in God's power. Number two, you're going to put on the armor, or God's armor that He provides you. And you're going to, you're going to stand firm against all the strategies. Now you say that to yourself, all the strategies. So you're going to stand strong against all the strategies of the enemy, because it's easy to forget that you have the ability to stand strong in tough times. So sometimes, you know, you lose your head because you are walking more naturally in human walk every day, or natural life. I remember Brother Hagin used to say, you know, we lose the battle. We live so much of our time in the natural. We spend very little time in the spiritual. We lose consciousness of the spiritual. And I know when I went out, when the Lord had visited me a few times, I went out into the spirit, and I lost awareness of this world. And I was so aware of God more in this world. I didn't even know the world existed when you went into that, the presence of God. And I know there's a heaven because I've tasted some of heaven. And so, thank God. And if I didn't have, I tell people sometimes, if I didn't have those spiritual experiences that I encountered, I would not have been a pastor here in Thunder Bay, guaranteed. Because I had so much against me, telling me I could not make it. There's no way. Naturally, all my failures, all my sins, everybody knew about it. Everybody knew about my weaknesses. I would have never stood the test of time. So thank God for His glorious power. Thank God for His ability to make you stand. So no matter who you are today, this morning, no matter what your trial is, God is able to make you stand. Praise God. Amen. So let's go over here to another scripture just to remind us about spiritual, about strategies of the enemy and that we're in a spiritual warfare. Let's go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. So our topic is spiritual warfare, but we're talking about standing firm in the midst of crisis, standing firm in the tough time, in the battle, in the heat of the battle. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, New Living says, "We are human." I don't know if you understand that, you're human. We don't think some people are human sometimes, but thank God we're reminded we're human. But we don't wage war as humans. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. There's something here said about the enemy's tactics, about what he's speaking and whispering into the minds of people and speaking. You know, I was just thinking about the scripture this morning when Jesus, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, fourth chapter of Luke, when he encountered the enemy, when he encountered the devil. And the Bible says in there, when he was in that heat of the battle, the Bible says that Satan showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Well, how does he do it? I don't know how he does it. And I don't know how he does it to you, but he does it. He'll show you the beginning of an end of the thing that you're going through, and he'll show you the end result of what he's going to do. And he'll threaten you. And he'll try to intimidate you. And he'll try to beat you down mentally. And I remember Brother Hagin saying this, and you know, I was taught by Dr. Kennedy Hagin. And he said to us, he says that if you remain in the spirit, you'll win every battle. But if you go and live in the soulish realm, if you live in the natural soulish realm, you'll lose the battle every time. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not about emotions. It's not about feelings. It's not about circumstances and looking at those things. If we look at those things, you already lost the battle. That's why we got to keep our eyes, keep our focus on the Word of God. Now, let's go ahead and read some more scripture. I was looking at the scripture concerning my own life, my own situation, and Proverbs chapter 12, verse 7, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, we're talking about fighting the battle, winning in the heat of the battle. You have to find scriptures that covers your case. And this case will relate to you, because I know this verse of scripture will touch everybody. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 7, the New Living Translation says, "The wicked die and disappear, but the family of God stands firm." or the family of God, stand firm. You have to say, you have to take authority in your house, in your home, as a parent, as a grandparent, whoever, you're head of your home. Take a stand, and if your children have gone wayward, if things are happening, you're getting attacked, your kids are getting attacked at school, kids can, get disrupted by different things in school. You have to take the stand. He says the house of the righteous, the King James says the house of the righteous, according to the scripture, will stand. And we thank God for the house of the righteous will stand. So over here, another scripture, Psalm chapter 20, verse 8, New Living says, those nations will fall down and collapse, but we will rise up and stand firm. In battles, we need to see the scriptures that we, as God's people, will rise up and will stand firm. And so many times people forget it. They, in the heat of a battle, they're looking at their own ability. They're looking at their limitations. They're looking at how big the battle is and how impossible the situation looks. And they're trying to fight the battle in their mentality, from their man's standpoint, human standpoint, human reasoning, human philosophy, human analytical viewpoint. And they're saying that they cannot win. And the devil reminds them that they cannot win this battle. You might have done it once or twice before, but this time, you're going to lose the battle. And so you have to stand strong during those tough times when you're getting attacked. And you have to be prepared for attack because the enemy will come and he'll try to destroy you. Now, the main idea I want to get across to you this morning is from a quotation that I remembered that I used. And I'm writing a book, like a daily devotional book. And I have this in my daily devotional. And we're trying to get one or two of them done soon. And so here it says here, the main idea of my particular point this morning that I believe I want to get across to you that the Lord put in my heart is this. Former Prime Minister, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, she once said, you may have to fight a battle more than one time to win it. Now, if you think you're going to win, fight the battle enemy one time in an area, and win it, and that's it, you got yourself something coming. Some of you have been fighting the battle of the bulge for years, and you haven't won the battle because you've let your natural situation overcome. Some of you have been trying to kick the smoking habit. Some of you are trying to kick the habit of gossiping. Some people are trying to kick the habit of being disgruntled and very critical. And those things that are been coming to you and the battle is being lost and your mouth is getting you in trouble and you're fighting with people, your relationships are bad. The Bible says that a fool will utter all his mouth, but a wise man will hold his peace. And there's a right time to say something and a wrong time to say something. So let's learn how to fight. And let's learn how to fight God's way and win every battle that's come our way. So the Bible encourages us to stand strong and stand up against the enemy in his attacks. I know that it might be overwhelming right now, whatever situation you're in, but we can do this because God says we can win. When you're going through the heat of a battle, sometimes you may have to stand longer than you thought you had to stand. Maybe you're going to have to fight more or longer than you thought. Some people are fighting sickness that had some hold on them, and you've gotten some victory over it, and it's gotten even worse than it was before. Now the devil's telling you it's going to get so bad that you're going to be incapacitated, then you're going to go to, you see yourself in that wheelchair, you see yourself in that hospital, and then you see yourself, they're making arrangements for your death, and so on and so forth. Now you're feeling sorry for yourself. Now the wheel is moving. Now you're planning your exit. Well, that's what's happening to many, many people this very hour. First, you have to believe that you have the victory because God says that you have the victory. You can't go by what people are saying, by statistics. A doctor might say, 3% only people have that ever had that illness, and most of them have died. And if you get this illness, you're done for it. And so people are saying different things. You can't listen to everybody. The doctor, what he said is true. What he said that you have is true. But we don't deny that. We don't pretend you don't have that. We're going to say, well, that's not the last word. The devil doesn't have the last word. The natural science doesn't have the last word. God has the last word in my situation, thank God. So even if you don't have any money, same thing. You know, you have to say the same thing, that God has the last word in my finances. Thank God. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. And I am not stingy. I don't trust in my riches. I trust in the living God who provides all good things for us. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. Thank God. Philippians 4:19, he supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says that. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack for anything. I shall not want for anything. You need to fight back. Start fighting back, praise God. Don't let the enemy have a hold over you. So you believe you have the victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 57, New Living says, But thank God, he gives us the victory over sin and death. You know, sin and death is about the devil. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. 2 Corinthians, the Bible says, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. You have to believe that you've got the victory and that you won every battle against the devil. When you prayed, you have to believe that you received the victory. The second you pray, you have to believe in your heart that the victory belongs to you. When you say amen, that settles it. You have the victory. No turning back. And if you have to pray again about the same thing, you're in a losing battle because you don't know how to use faith. You don't know how to use your faith. And if you keep praying about the same thing over and over that you did the last 20 times and you ask all your Facebook friends how to pray for you, and nothing's going better. You have to learn sometimes to stand alone. I've learned this from Brother Hagin. He says sometimes you might have to stand alone. You might be the only one. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Everybody has to stand sooner or later on their own. And so, yes, you might get some help from people, but you don't live by all your friends. And you're supposed to take your own prayer request to the Lord and talk to him, because it's your faith that's going to sustain you in the end. Yes, someone might help you for a short time, pray for you and get you out of hospital. But what about the 25 other times you have to do it? Maybe you might not have to, you got to learn how to stand. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in God and his blessings. When you prayed, you have to believe that you receive and then begin to thank him. And every time you get up in the morning, the next day, you have to say, thank God you've given me the victory over that situation. I thank God that I have victory. I have healing in the name of Jesus. How many times do you say that? You say it as long as until the manifestation comes. What if, is it 10 years, 5 years? No, you just do it as long as it comes. Don't put a time limit on it. Thank God. Everybody's a different faith level. Let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6 in a moment, in verse 6 to 9. Let's go here, Ephesians chapter 6. Don't worry about anything, you living. Don't worry about anything. Here, the trouble right off the bat, we found out where you're losing your battle right away is worry. You know, worry will kill you. It'll destroy you. It'll put anxiety in your heart. It'll affect your physical body and your bring sickness in your life and open the door to the enemy's attack. Learn how to battle. I tell my children all the time, and I tell people, anybody that comes around me and tell me, if you're going to win the battle, if you're going to stay strong, if you're going to win any battle in life, you're going to have to learn how to deal with this worry business. You're going to have to learn how to deal with fear. You're going to have to learn how to deal with stress. Amen? You're going to have to deal with worry, anxiety. If you can handle those things, you're going to have to battle one right there. Praise God. That's where it's all happening. Here, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Next time you're having a worry spell, the Bible says, instead, pray about it. Start praying about it. And ask God about some things. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank him for what he has done. So you have to thank him by faith. The King James says it's different. They begin to thank him. You prayed about it, and you asked him about it, and you made your request, and now you're thanking him by faith that he's answered your prayer. So why pray if you don't believe God's answer going to answer your prayer? Is that just a spiritual exercise that you need to do, or some kind of a mental exercise you have to do? No, it's a spiritual thing. Now, it says that when you, okay, so thank him for what he's done. Verse 7 says, then You'll experience God's peace. You see, here what people want to do, they want to experience God's peace, but they're hanging on to fear. They're hanging on to worry. They're hanging on to their anxieties. And they're trying to experience God's peace, naturally speaking, but they want to hang on to worry. If you're going to hang on to worry, then you're going to hang on to your problems. And you're going to get defeated because you can't hang on to worry and be in faith at the same time. You can't say, I'm going to worry in faith. No, the Bible says to put your worries away. Put all your anxieties away. Put all your cares away. These are all the same thing. And your burdens. And don't carry your own burdens. Don't carry one burden. Don't carry one worry. Throw it off on the Lord, the scripture says. It says, then the peace of God, or God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, and you know, sometimes from my own self, I said, I don't understand why I'm not worried about that situation. Well, I had cast it over to the Lord. My natural self tells my spirit, I should be worrying about these things, but no, I'm experiencing God's peace right now, and His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, He says one final thing. One final thing. So what are these things? So you cast all your care. Now you cast all your care, and God's peace comes in. And then what do you do next? One final thing, verse 8 says. This is what you're going to do after you cast your cares upon the Lord, after you cast your worries upon the Lord, all your burdens on the Lord, all your financial worries, all your children's worries, all your marriage worries, all your business worries, all your financial and natural worries, all your health worries, you cast it on the Lord. And you have scripture for it when you've done it. You better have scripture for those things when you've done that. Because you have to stand. You can't just say, I cast my cares upon the Lord. No, you got to say, the question is, what scripture are you standing on when you've done that? What authority do you have? So you got to look at the scripture. What are you believing? You can't just say, I just cast my cares upon the Lord. And you don't have a scripture. No, you'll have it again in the next moment. Because you got to have scripture to help you believe that. Now, verse 8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true. So the Bible tells you, you take a hold of your own mind, you take a hold of your own mental thought life, and you take those authorities, or those anxieties, excuse me, and you take those worrisome thoughts, and you do something about those thoughts. What do? He says here, fix your thoughts on what is true. So what is true? God's word is true. And every situation you're facing, His word is true. He says, what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable? These are God's word He's talking about. And think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So God tells you to grab your thoughts and begin to think in a positive way. You have that authority. Your mind is your mind. You don't have to think on what the devil puts in your mind. You have to do something about your mind if you're in a struggle. No one's going to do it for you. You're going to have to take authority over your own thought life, and that's where the battle is happening. There's a battle going on. We're going to talk about it a little bit more in a few minutes. But so you have to take your own thoughts. So this is something that you do. God's not going to do it. He's not going to change your mind. He's going to get you, because your mind is your mind. Your soul is your soul. Your spirit is your spirit. Your body is your body. And Jesus bought everything for you and given you the ability to begin to take authority over those areas. Now I want to say, he said, think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So you have to learn to start thinking right. Think positive. Think positive. That's something that you do. You don't say, Lord, help me to think positive. No, you think positive. You do that. You say, no, Lord, help me to fix my mind. No, you fix your mind. On what? On what God's word says. What did He say in His word? Take His scripture and begin to think upon it. Praise God. Amen? So verse 9 says this, putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Now, verse 9 tells me something, that you're going to have to do this more than one time. This is not something you do with a snap of your finger. You've done it one time. Whoa, it's already done. I've cast all my cares upon the Lord. I just straightened out my mind. I'm good now forever. No, that's not going to happen that way. You're going to have to continue to fight the battle. You're going to have to fight you're going to have to take care of your own soul. You're going to have to learn how to carry your own feelings. You're going to have to harness these feelings and put them in the right perspective. You ever have a thought sometimes that you're going to give people a piece of your mind? You're going to write him a note, send him an email, send him a messenger, and tell him how much you think about him, and God stops you. Amen. Some of you have done that, and you want to say something. Next time I see that person, if he says this, I'm going to do this, and you have a little battle going on in your mind. Now you have to take care of that, because you can get into a lot of trouble just because you got angry. You can't let anger control your life. That's your old way of life. That's your old man trying to rise up. He's trying to get authority in your life. Praise God. Learn to control your thoughts. So he says in here, verse 9, keep putting to practice what? Learning to do what he said, to fix your mind on the things that are true. And to think excellent. That's something that you do every single day. That's about renewing the mind. That's something that you don't do one time. You have to do this over and over. If it takes you, a 24-hour day, you have to do it every minute, every hour. You have to do it over and over and over again until you get better at it. I'm sure a lot better at it than I was before. And I'm more better at it than people around here. I'm a little bit better than them. Why? Because I'm a pastor, and I have to watch myself more than the average person. Glory to God. I have to watch myself, and sometimes I get off track, and some of my staff sees me, but they're not bothered by it because they see themselves. Hallelujah. Amen. And your wife sees you. My wife sees me. He said, that's not the man I married. Bring the other one back. The one that acts so nice on that first date. Praise God. Amen. Now, keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me. Everything you've heard and saw in me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So, it says, then the God of peace will be with you. When you keep doing these things, and then the God of peace will be with you. You keep doing those things, and then the God of peace will come back to you. That's something, you're in charge of your own peace and serenity. You're in charge of how much peace you have. God will give you as much as you can take, as much as you can practice. But it's there for you. It's up to you to learn to have peace in the midst of a storm. How much do you want it? Are you going to rationalize yourself out of having this? People lose the battle when they focus on the devil and what he's doing. They focus on the symptoms. They focus on how their body is feeling. They focus on what the circumstances are saying or how the situation has not changed. They're thinking about evil thoughts that keep bombarding their mind from the enemy. That's when you're losing the battle. When you begin, you have to stop and say, no, hang on. I'm not thinking about that anymore. I'm going to think on what the Bible says. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. So I'm fixing my mind on what God says. All things are possible to him who believes. So this is not impossible. I'm not facing an impossible situation, although it seems impossible for me naturally. But with God, all things are possible. So I begin to think that way. You have to fight back. And you can't close your mouth when you fight a battle against the enemy. You have to talk to yourself. And that's meditating the word of God. Talking to yourself. Coach yourself back into faith. School yourself into faith by meditating and talking to yourself about what God says. Thank God for that. Amen. Be your best cheerleader. So refuse to doubt and take no for an answer. No, you're not saying no to God, but you're saying no to the devil. Who's your opponent? Who's bringing on all these evil thoughts? Paul says, therefore, over here in Ephesians 6:13, the Amplified Classical, he's saying there, therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day. So the reason why people are losing the battle is that they're not putting on the armor, or they're not aware of who they are in Christ. You are the righteousness of God. You have the mind of Christ. You have the shield of faith to protect you. God will protect you always. You have the sword of the Spirit. You got the word of God to fight against the enemy. You have the gospel of peace, the shoes of peace of walk in the things of God. You have all that. God has given you all those things. But if you're going to lose yourself and not remember what those represent as far as God's word is concerned in your life, learn to use your armor and learn what armor you have on right now that's already for you. So it says that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. So that is a direct command from God, that you stand and resist the enemy. He's not going to resist him for you. He's given you the means to resist the enemy and to stand your ground from every danger that he's bringing towards you and your house, and every crisis that demands, you can stand against any crisis that comes your way. And the Bible says to stand firmly in your place. You have a place in Christ, and that you can stand and be strong. Let's talk about something here that's very, go back a little bit more. I know I went ahead a little bit here, but I want to go back again to something here that we need to talk about. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, New Living Translation, that we are fighting a spiritual battle. We're up against spiritual dark forces of the unseen world. They're in the unseen world. The Apostle Paul says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. No, they're not human enemies. Paul says, but evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12, New Living Translation says. So right here is telling us you're up against spiritual forces that you cannot see. That these spiritual forces are arrayed against you and your family, and they're waiting a turn, an opening to attack you. Sometimes you don't open the door. Maybe sometimes in your family, your kids will open the door. Maybe it's your wife opens the door. Maybe you open the door and allow something to strike your house. And you have to learn how to stand and intercede for your family and be strong for your family in evil times. And people need you to be strong. Your family needs you. Dads, listen to me. You are a key to the battle that's going to be won in your house. You're the head of your home. The Bible tells you you're the spiritual head of your home. When you got married, you were reminded that you're the spiritual head of your house. And what goes on in your house, you're going to have to take authority over it and stand against those things. You might not have been responsible for opening some things, but you need to stand against those things. And it doesn't stop because your kids are 16 or 18 or 21. You have to stand against these battles, these forces that are against your family. And you're going to have to be strong. There's no age limit. Glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. So you're going to have to be strong. Moms, you're going to have to stand strong with dad. And fight against these enemies that's coming against your home and your financial adversities that's going on. And put that credit card away. And stop shopping and stop buying cars and trucks and snowplows and everything. You have to start put away those bikes. You've been crying to God, and now you got 7 bikes in your house. Now whose trouble is that? It's yours, and get rid of those things. And you might be laughing right now, driving down the road, but sooner or later, that bike's going to just be up your head. Something's going to happen. you open the door yourself. I'm getting a little personal here. I know a lot of my folks on here might have these problems, but I'm not talking directly to them, but I'm talking to you out there, whoever you are, not our people. Thank God for that. I didn't mention any names. People don't know who you are. There's many people that have a bike. So don't write me any letters. Okay, so you're fighting. Here's the point. You're fighting unseen forces. You're fighting unseen entities. You're fighting spiritual forces. And you're a human being trying to fight these spiritual battles with human thinking and human ability. You cannot win. If you're going to win, you're going to have to do it God's way, or die early, or lose the battle, or lose your children, or lose your finances, lose your house. You better get back into the battle. Yes, you might lose something and start over again. Yes, humanly speaking, but you don't have to. God will help you. Yes, many, many people of God's people lost a lot of stuff, and they lost a lot of things, families, homes, ministries. People lost a lot of things, lost their stuff, and now you have to start over again. I've seen people who've been in ministry for 30 years, 35 years, and they've lost the ministry. The devil don't quit on you. The same ones have been following your family for years are still waiting for you to make a wrong move. You say, I've been living a Christian for 30 years now, and I'm going to take a little Vegas vacation. Well, no, those guys know where you are. They're waiting for you at the casino. Glory to God. Now, these same evil forces, Jesus defeated them. Then we just finished talking about Ephesians 6:12. People are afraid, we're fighting against spiritual forces. They start getting scared and talking about stuff like that. Well, no, you don't have to be scared of them. Jesus already defeated those forces for you. You have the victory. That's what I'm telling you. You got to believe that you have the victory and look the devil square in the eye. He said, listen, you're not going to win this battle. I remember Brother Hagin says, people saying there was having a big crisis, and they're saying, the devil, he's going to take over the world. Look at the devil. He's look at all the trouble in the world. He's taking over the world. He said, no, he ain't. He's not taking over the world because he's not taking over me. You'd have to do it you have to do it to me because he ain't taking over the world over me. So you have to stand. That's the tenacious, and that's the attitude you need to have. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. You got to say, no, you're not doing it. You have to get mad at the devil. You have to get mad at him. You have to hate him as much as anything else. The Bible says you have to hate evil, but love God and love people. You can't hate people. If you hate people right now, the Bible says you're a murderer. That's what the Bible says. And you have to figure that out. Now, Paul gives us insight into his revelation that we have the victory, that these evil forces are put under our feet. In his revelation, he points out this fact over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 to 15. Let's go ahead and read the New Living. So you're all complete through your union with Christ, who is the head of every ruler and authority. Who's the head over every rule and authority? Well, Jesus is. He's the head of everything. Not only that, but he's brought you with him. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by the physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. This is not talking about water baptism. It's not talking about water baptism. There's many kinds of baptism in the Bible. And you have to understand reading the Bible. If you understand, you're a good Bible student, and you read this. This is not talking about water baptism. Water baptism does not save you. It doesn't do anything in as far as spiritual authority about or having any kind of authority. It just tells you that you're making yourself identify with Jesus. What he has already done. Recognize that when Jesus died, he went down. And the Bible says that God quickened Jesus or made him alive when he was down there for 3 days. In the moment that God quickened Jesus down there, we were quickened with him because we were on the cross with him, we had died with Jesus on the cross, and we went down with Christ. Christ himself went down, took us there with him, spiritually speaking. And when the Holy Ghost, after the third day, quickened Jesus down there, we were quickened. And when Jesus rose from the dead and sat at the right hand of the Father, we are there with him. That's what the scripture says. You were baptized with Christ. When you were buried with Christ, when you were baptized, and you were with him, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave you forgave all our sins. Verse 14 says, he canceled the record of charges against us and took it away, nailing it to the cross. That everything that's against you, God put it on the cross. Every sin that you've ever committed is on the cross if you made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. Verse 15 says, in this way, he disarmed the principal, the spiritual rulers and authorities. The word disarmed, you know, the Bible says, the King James said, he spoiled principalities and powers. The word spoiled means that he paralyzed them. He paralyzed the enemy for you. He put them to naught. Another scripture says, he put them to naught, or he reduced them to zero as far as your enemy is concerned, as far as he trying to control your life. So he has nothing over you. And he's trying to accuse you of your sins. He's trying to accuse you what Jesus already died for you for. He's given you the victory. Thank God for that. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. That's the same ones he's talking about in Ephesians 6:12 that we're fighting against in this world. Now, we're not fighting them, per se, in of our human strength. We're not fighting. We're fighting this faith fight. We have to take the place that Jesus won for us. He's already won the battle, so we have to take the victory that he's already given us. He's trying to steal that from you. He shamed them publicly by the victory over them on the cross. We have to do our part, and God will uphold his part in winning the battles of this life. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples in Matthew 18:18, I tell you the truth. Whatsoever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatsoever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Now, there's some things in our lives that is going on that if you continue to allow it to happen, it's going to happen. It's going to still happen. You have to take authority over the things that's going on in your life and the enemy, because we live in this world. The Bible says in Psalm 23, gives us a picture, though we walk in the valley, the shadow of death. The Bible says, this is the valley, shadow of death. This world is the valley, shadow of death. Jesus is our shepherd, and we're walking in the valley, shadow of death, which is this world. And he says, though we're walking in the valley, shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So the first thing you need to know is walk by faith and fear no evil. The way you fear no evil is walk by faith. I will fear no evil. So you have to make a stand that you will not be afraid of the enemy. I will fear no evil. Say that to yourself, I'll fear no evil. So that is a commitment that each one of us makes, that we will not be afraid. You will not be intimidated by the enemy and his circumstances, what is his lying symptoms and whatever he's put against you. You have to say, no, I'm not going to stand this. I'm not putting up with this enemy. The Amplified, I like reading that in the Amplified Bible. If whatever you call unlawful or whatever you call lawful, that's what's going to happen. I remember one time, you know, I listened to Brother Hagin's story when he had that experience with the Lord. He had those experiences, and the Lord said to him that he was having an experience. Actually, he was having a vision with Jesus visiting. This is in the spiritual realm. I mean, Jesus didn't come there physically. He was having a spiritual vision. And then in that spiritual vision, and think about this, the devil came and he disrupted that. He tried to disrupt that and tried to make the voice of God or Jesus to be distorted so that he couldn't hear God. I think this is happening to a lot of people. They can't hear God. The devil is causing distortion that they can't hear God's voice. The Bible says, my sheep knows my voice and they'll follow me. And so in that vision, Jesus said, I'm going to teach you about demons, devils, and evil spirits. And then up comes a demon, stands in front between Jesus and Dr. Hagin, and it began to scream, yakety yak, 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 and yak, yak, yak. And he yelled so loud with a screeching voice, he couldn't hear Jesus, nor could he read even his lips, because there was a puff of smoke that went up, and he couldn't see Jesus' lips to actually make some sense out of what he's saying. He's going like, what are you saying? What are you saying, Jesus? Doesn't he know that the devil is, you know, he's coming, he's blocking what he's trying to say? I need to hear what he's got to say. What is he saying? What is he saying? Then the devil kept yelling that way, and because, I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to teach you about demons, devils, and evil spirits. And he's trying to listen. And suddenly he said, he got mad. He says, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And that devil went on the fell on the floor, kaplump, and he started whimpering and whining. And he started shaking. And he said, you have to go. And he said, yeah, I know you have. I have to go. And Jesus turned around to Brother Hagin at that point, and he said, you know, if you hadn't done anything about that, I couldn't. And for three times later, Jesus said, wait a minute, Jesus, I don't understand what you're saying. He said, if I didn't do anything about it, you know, that you wouldn't. No, Jesus said, I couldn't. That means that if we are not doing something about this battle, that he's given us the authority in our own lives, that he's not going to come around and do things for you. You are going to have to take authority in your own life and begin to exercise your rights as a citizen of heaven and take that word and begin to use it against the enemy. And a lot of people right now are waiting for God to change the situation when God's already given them Jesus, give them the word, give them the Holy Spirit, and they're supposed to take this word and start using it in their lives. Romans 5:17, the King James says, we rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. And that's talking about we rule over spiritual forces, over symptoms and situations that have come against us. And we rule and reign over our own selves, our own bodies, our own minds, and physical bodies. You have to realize that you can take authority over your own self. I'm talking about your natural self. Because your spirit, man, has to rule, because that's the part that's born again. Romans 18:18 is a valid statement that tells us that Jesus said, whatever you bid, whatever you bind on it, whatever you take authority over, I will take authority over. But God's waiting for you to take authority. Whatever you forbid, whatever you bind, whatever you lose, whatever you permit in your life, it has to be, because God has given us each our will, and we have to take authority over it. We're talking about spiritual battles and winning spiritual battles, and we're living in a natural life. We're fighting against spiritual forces. We're human beings, we're natural beings, but we're fighting a spiritual enemy, and we have to learn how to fight spiritually with the battles, with the Word of God, to know what's happening in our life. So evil forces are in the heavenlies, are directly affecting our situations, our lives here on earth right now as the church, as people of God. They're trying to discourage the gospel from going forward and you being a testimony for God. Jesus, or Paul said to Timothy, a young man who was the head of a church, he says, fight the good fight of faith. That word fight, right in that verse of Scripture, fight the good fight of faith. The word fight means a struggle. It infers a struggle, a conflict, or a combat, or a contest. Fight. You're in a battle right now. So you're having a crisis. You're not fighting an evil human beings. You're not. Yes, human beings might be involved in it. Somebody might give you a bill. Somebody might be causing something in your office. Maybe something's happening there. But the enemy is behind this situation. You're going to have to take authority over those situations and start believing God. So the struggle is real. Our text says we're in a struggle against the devil. He's a spiritual being, and he's trying to destroy us. John 10:10 says, Jesus said, the thief comes not to kill, to steal, not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So there's two things there. The devil is trying to destroy and kill you, destroy your life. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have abundant life. And there's so many people struggling to try to get something from God, but their faith is not accurate. It's not in the right place. And it only can be put in place when we get in line with the Word of God. And we're getting there. All of us are getting there. I mean, I've had these battles. I've been so wrong before. I had to correct myself. The only way I had to correct myself is to see the truth and honesty. I had to be honest with my own self that I was wrong in my thinking, wrong in my actions, and take control of my life. And I lost many, many battles. Many battles. Cried many, many tears until I was tired that I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do it God's way. And then when we get to a place and we can do it God's way, then we're going to win more battles in this life. Apostle Peter said also concerning the devil In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, he says, be sober. You know, you could be drunk with the cares of this world, so filled with the things of this world, so filled with the cares and the demands of life that you forget God. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, your enemy, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says that the devil is walking about. You know, in the book of Job, it says there in the first chapter, he says, God says, hey, where you been? He said, I've been walking up and down, to and fro, checking out people, watching Job and all those other people. See, the devil is walking around and he's looking, seeking someone who he may devour. He might devour, but he can't devour. He just can't come and devour you anytime he wants unless you allow him to, by walking ignorantly and not allowing God to teach you and instruct you. Jesus said in the fourth chapter of Matthew, Mark, he said that God can help an open and honest heart. It's when we get honest and we're open to God for his instruction and get honest and face facts that we're not doing the right thing, then God can help us. He said, I can help anybody who's honest. And we know that for sure. And we see people that just can't be honest with themselves. Oh, they want to do things on their own, but they're losing a battle and they're losing miserably and try to take you down with them. He says, whom resist? Steadfast in faith. So we have to resist the enemy. We have to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going down that road again. I've been down that road for 30 years. In worry and fear, I'm not going down there with you again. I'm staying up here where the victory is, and I'm going to get victory back. And everything you stole from me, you're going to have to pay back all the years you stolen from me. God says in His Word, "I will restore the years the locust has stolen." I want to restore, and I'm believing God that everything that was stolen from me from being in the residential school, everything that was stolen from me as a kid when I was neglected and didn't have any money and didn't have anything to eat and didn't have any parents, I'm believing God for buying that back. I'm taking it all back. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember all those years being in the residential school crying, wondering if I'm ever going to get out of there. It was like being in hell with no one to comfort me, no one to, you know, at a critical time of my development as a child, psychology says to us, as a young person at that age, I needed human love, and we weren't getting it. We weren't getting the hugs and all the love and all the assurance from a loving parent, and I didn't have that as a kid. And so I'm believing God for that. I'm believing God to have that back. I want to have that. I want to be able to hug a little child in my arms and say, you know, thank God I have my grandkids and my children's children. The Bible says, I'll be old, but I'll be around. Praise God. The devil is a spiritual entity that has something to do with our battles, our trials that we believers face every day. You have to look at that and see it. You're not fighting a battle that's human. We are told to be aware of them, to resist them, or stand against them. But if we don't believe that there is an existence of a devil or evil forces or demons, and if we don't know about their strategies and their weapons, what their weapons are, how can we fight against an unseen force that we don't know anything about? And that's where the battle is won, is ignorance. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that God says there that I would not have you be ignorant. God does not want us to be ignorant. We are at a disadvantage when we don't know about these things. We won't know how to stand in that evil day. We got to use what God has provided for us as His people. I believe we can stand up against any trial that the enemy will present to us. And we can take the opportunity that God has provided for us by getting into the Word of God and not running, running wild with emotion, running wild with looking at the sights of the evil that's around us, but standing on the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, standing on the principles of God's Word. I've learned that way before I came into the things of God. I met a bunch of people who said, you know, you got to stand on truth, stand on the principles of God, and you'll win the victory. And I won the victory. I was not a Christian back then. But they told me, Roma, if you stand on principles, you're going to win the battle. And then when I came to church, I recognized that came from right from the Bible. You have to be serious about winning. And serious about the enemy's tactics. Learn about them. He's an old force that knows the battle. He's been battle-tested. It's like the story of David and Goliath. When this young David came against this battle-tested opponent. It will take spiritual intelligence and the power of experience, walking with God, and the power to overcome the enemy that we cannot see. He has an advantage over us when we don't use God's wisdom and his weaponry. And we need to know what our opponent is. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. When is the time of evil? That's when the devil is attacking. The time of evil is when the battle is on, is when the struggle is on, when it's in the heat of the battle. In the heat of the battle, you can win. After the battle, you'll still be standing firm. And I remember my spiritual father would say, you know, when all this is gone, all these guys are gone, and there were people who were walking by faith. He said, I'll be still out there. I'll be still standing strong. You need to tell yourself that. I'm standing strong. When all my enemies have come and gone, I'll still be strong. I'll be still standing strong. God commands us to stand firm. What exactly does it mean to stand firm? The Apostle Paul uses the word, this phrase, stand firm, stand strong. A few times in speaking to the Ephesians, he declared that we are in a spiritual battle, not a natural battle. Since our opponents are not human, it will take God's word to overcome all his strategies. He tells us, put on the spiritual armor of God and stand our ground. When the battle's over, we'll be able to be standing over and above all evil forces. Well, how do you stand? Well, you're going to have to come back next time to learn how to stand. And I want to show you, the Bible says here that we have to stand with that armor on. You know, that armor represents the Word of God. It represents the intelligence and the wisdom of God that we have to use every single day. Know about salvation. The Bible says the helmet of salvation is know who you are in Christ, what you have, and what your ability is. It talks about the helmet of salvation there. Know about your salvation. What are you saved from? You're not just born again to be beaten up by the devil. What are you saved from? What is your power? You have the name. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the counselor in you. The Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God. I'm not winning the battle because I'm so good. Jesus already gave me his righteousness, and I am the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am right now. I'm not going to be any more righteous than I ever will be 1,000 years from now. I am right now the righteousness of God. The Bible says that. Because of the gift of righteousness, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, because of that gift of righteousness and the grace of God, I can stand and be strong. Thank God for that. Amen? The belt of truth. You have to be a person of integrity, living a life that's separated to God, not cheating and lying and doing this and that on a part-time basis. No, you got to be committed to God 100%. Have your conscience clear that so that any devil that will come near you, you're going to stand your ground. But if you're going to walk a wishy-washy life and half in there and half over here, then you got something coming for you. But on the other hand, the belt of truth is using the Word of God. His Word is truth. John 17:17 says the Word of God is true. It's not a lie. It's true. You have to use that. The gospel of peace, the shoes of peace, is recognizing you're ready to go anywhere God wants you to go. You're ready to do whatever God says to do. You've got those shoes on.
And you're gonna have the gospel of peace on you. So anywhere God leads you, there's peace. And anywhere He's called you, there's safety and peace and provision wherever He's called you. The shield of faith, the faith of God. Using the faith of God, you're going to use faith to protect yourself. Using the blood of Jesus by faith. Protecting your whole life by the blood of Jesus when you're in trouble. Just plead the blood of Jesus over your family, over your children. Although, you know, hey, listen, intercession is for you to pray for those who have gone off. Your intercession is to pray for those Christians who needs the mercy of God and who has gone into a life of debauchery or whatever it is. You can stand for them. That's why God uses you to stand in intercession and pray for every person who's gone out there and bring them back into the things of God. And they're not judged. They're not destroyed by the enemy because you are the one standing there. Just like Abraham says, if there's a 10 people in that place, save that people. God says, I'm going to save that town. God, Jesus said, I'll do anything you said. If you ask me anything, I'll do it. Hallelujah. I read in the scriptures that even if a sinner is sinning and because of a man of God prays, because of a child of God prays, God will save that sinner from dying. That's what scripture says. Look it up. Hallelujah. Because of that, I'm so happy. I preach myself happy again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then you got to use the sword of the Spirit. Take that sword in your hand. That's the word of God. Take it in your hand and start fighting the enemy, cutting them down. And just like Jesus said, use the word of God. Ephesians says, the sword of the Spirit. And put that devil on the run and use that scripture against him. That's how you'll win the battle.